Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's time to drop the puck. Time for the Nightcap. Your home for news and insider info on your Vegas Golden Knights and the NHL. Let's hear from the goalie. Here's Lindsey Brown.
My name is Lindsey Brown, your host always and forever. I am joined by, as always, Ryan Quigley and Ben Goetz. Hello, gentlemen.
It's us.
We're back.
First time in a couple weeks, because I was out of town for Christmas, as most of us were. And there has been plenty of Golden Knights hockey since then, since we've been on the air. So, as we usually do in the first segment here on the Nightcap, each and every week, 6 to 7 here on CBS Sports Radio 1140 and streaming on the radio.com app, we like to kind of recap what happened since we last talked to you. So, let's just start on December 19th, shall we, gentlemen?
Okay. Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. Let's get this thing going. On December 19th, they lost to the Vancouver Canucks 5-4 in overtime. And it wasn't the greatest game that they ever had, but at least they were able to kind of keep pace with the Vancouver Canucks, who are kind of a young upstart team in the Pacific Division this year and have shown definite flashes of greatness in their core. Although I don't think it's their year quite yet. But still, it was a decent game, don't you think, Ben?
Oh, yeah. It was a big comeback by the Knights, too, because they got down early. I believe they were down 3-1 after the first period, gave up a backbreaking kind of last-minute goal in the first period to go down 3-1 to the Vancouver Canucks. So the fact that they rallied to at least get a point in that game on the road in Vancouver, I think, is pretty commendable. Though, I must point out, it was their first loss on their annual dad's trip. So the first time, the dads were not happy with the results, so I mean, we'll see what that means for the future. Does that mean a mom's trip next year? Because now the dads are not perfect.
It's going to be an aunt's trip.
They don't do both? They don't do a dad's and a mom's trip?
No, just on dad so far.
Well, we'll just leave that where it lies then. That's an interesting thing to not have. All right, we'll move on to the 22nd of December. They go into the San Jose Sharks building that they will visit one more time this season, and not exactly a friendly environment between those two teams, as we all know, but they end up winning 3-1 and pretty much convincing win, don't you think? What did you see? Did you catch that game, Ryan?
I didn't catch the entire thing, but mm-hmm. My God, the Sharks are disgrace. They're as bad as when we started the season. Remember they had that nice little run and everyone was like, uh-huh. Oh, here they come. No, they are actually not good. Like when we, at the beginning of the season, when they looked as bad as we thought they were, that was very much black and white. They're awful.
They are super, super bad. And it's even to the point where I don't follow Sharks Twitter religiously, at least mm-hmm. from their beat writers. But it seems like there's not a whole lot of urgency in that locker room either, despite firing Peter DeBoer just not even a month ago.
Yeah.
Not just Peter DeBoer. There's two other coaches that got fired, too.
Oh, that's true.
And there's just, little urgency for that group. They have not turned it around under the interim coach. But it's weird because now, at least for the Knights fans, Sharks are like out of sight, out of mind, because they do not play each other again the rest of the season. They are done.
Oh, they're done, done.
They're
now.
Done.
Oh, I thought they had one more visit to the Shark Tank. So they're done.
They are done. So, yeah, one of the biggest rivalries, at least that's how it felt like it in the NHL, is done before the calendar flips to 2020, which is an interesting bit of scheduling. Obviously, that like back-to-back / home-and-home kind of at the beginning of the year mm-hmm. was really fun and got, I think, a lot of fans excited. But to have that kind of series be done in 2019,
yeah,
I'm sure is a bummer for a lot of Knights and Sharks fans, because for the Sharks, that's kind of what you could at least still hope for going into 2020 is, hey, maybe we can at least beat the Knights.
Right. I remember that early in the preseason. I think it was like the second to last or last preseason game, whatever, was the Knights and Sharks.
Yeah.
And it was just a wrestling match on the ice.
That's what Evander Kane got suspended for, because he pushed a ref.
It was the best. That was the most entertaining preseason game ever. And I was hoping that was going to continue throughout the whole season and then hopefully into the playoffs. And it's not happening now.
Yeah,
so
there's pretty much no chance that the Sharks make the playoffs. And they find themselves in a really big conundrum here, because they just signed Erik Karlsson, that super long-term deal. They still have Brent Burns under contract. You still have a lot of those guys that are getting a little bit older, a little bit long in the tooth that are signed long term. Now you're going to, Joe Thornton will come off the books.
Yeah,
we'll sign him for another year and eternally until he turns, 84. But it seems like the Sharks are kind of in that mode now where they could be looking for a rebuild next season and going forward, just because they don't have the ability or the cap space to really finagle around to get these big time players, because they spend money on their big time players. His name's Erik Karlsson,
right?
But you're wasting him by pairing him up with Brent Burns, who doesn't know how to play defense and isn't doing super well on offense either. So why even have him out there? It just seems like they had a plan and it's not going to work out, and that they're going to have to live with those results. And that is sad that the rivalry is done for this season, and the way that team is constructed, and should they go into the rebuild, that's going to affect this rivalry and the way that these two teams play each other.
So Kevin LeBanc, you might remember, he took like a pretty massive pay cut during the offseason to come back and hopefully win a cup.
Yes.
He must hate himself right now, because they're not going to the cup. I think we can all agree on that right now. Unless this is some sort of momentous, like, Herculean effort. St. Louis Blueian effort in the second half of the season. I mean, poor Kevin.
Kevin!
That's the Home Alone. I don't know if that's coming across as clearly as I wish it would. But
most people got what you're putting out there. But how good does Joe Pavelski feel?
Oh my God! Honestly, you got to wonder how big it is. Like, why their fall from grace? How much of that has to do with him not being there?
I think
that is all of it. Well, not all, but
culturally,
most of
it's huge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, there are reports. I believe it was Kevin Kurz of The Athletic said they recently lost an overtime game to the LA Kings, and there's guys kind of laughing in the showers post-game.
Yep.
And so you'd have to think, like, Joe Pavelski, like, would not stand for that, and I'm sure
he'd still
be like,
what are you
stand
laughing at?
Yeah. Exactly. I'm sure
Especially the Kings, too.
In the Stars locker room. So that, I think, is just a poignant example of exactly what they're missing
when
Joe Pavelski walked out the door.
This means absolutely nothing, because, like, it's just people on Twitter, and people on Twitter are a
lot. What do you mean? That's the moral conscience of America.
Yeah, right. Like, they're a bit rash, but I've seen a lot of people on Twitter. Like, I remember when they named Logan Couture the captain.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them were just like, yes, this is awesome. They're already starting to be like, this guy has no leadership, this, that, and the other. And it's just like, oh, boy. It really is not good.
It's going rough for the Sharks. And things kind of went rough for the Knights a couple days following that win over the San Jose Sharks. They went to they came home to face Colorado the night after, second half of back-to-back, and get spanked by the Colorado Avalanche, who are a very good team, giving up 7 goals and only scoring 3 goals themselves. But from what I understand, because I was in Minnesota during this, I did not get to catch this game, it wasn't really a contest.
No.
And it was Belmar, basically.
Oh, Pierre-Edouard Belmar.
Yeah,
of course it's Belmar.
Loves playing in T-Mobile Arena. So the first time the Avalanche visited, Belmar has his first 3-point game in his career.
They won like
against
5-6-0, I think, in that game.
And that 6-1.
I was shouting at my TV, get the hat trick!
And then he comes back, scores 2 goals, as Ryan just eloquently put it, against the Knights. That's his first career 2-goal game.
So is that really?
Yeah. He now has set 2 career milestones in his first 2 games back at T-Mobile Arena. He clearly just loves coming back to Vegas and playing. Does something for his game.
I did not know that.
He was on their third line, too, so they've moved him up the lineup. I mean, he is just playing really, really well for the Avalanche. He's getting more ice time there. He's kind of being allowed to showcase his offensive game a little more. I mean, that first goal, it was a heck of a backhand shot. Like, I had to look at my line chart because I was like, oh, wow, that was a really good shot. Like, who just put that in the net for the Avs? And I was like, Belmar?
You're like, what?
That one?
Pebbles.
Does he have a brother that I'm unaware of? Like, that was a really good play by him, and really just rough all-around game for the Knights, and Marc-Andre Fleury, who tied a career high with 7 goals allowed.
I'm surprised they left him in for the whole game. But granted, it's a loaded decision when you're deciding to pull a goalie. It affects the mentality of the starter. It affects the physical health of the backup. There's a lot of things that go into it. But when you're getting scored on that much, it has to be really tough. But granted, the Colorado Avalanche are one of the best teams going in the league right now. Outside of St. Louis in the Western Conference, they have probably the most solid roster. And granted, with that roster, the Knights haven't really shown up against them. So that makes me a little worried that might have some signs later on as we get closer to the playoffs that they haven't been able to kind of solve the Avalanche or at least make it competitive because it just seems like they're chasing.
Yeah, like I want to say like, oh, well, it's the best team in the league. Like, you know, you have games like this when you have when you face a juggernaut like that. But like at some point, the Knights really do have to put together a good 60-minute effort against one of these juggernaut teams to prove themselves as one of the top dogs in the West.
Absolutely.
And really, they just haven't been doing it. I mean, they're looking good. They're in the playoffs right now. They're correct me if I'm wrong, top of the standings.
They
right?
are.
The
division. Yep.
So not by like, points percentage, but by actual points right,
right now. Right, yeah. So I'm just thinking, like, at some point there must be some sort of, you got to flip the switch and really start, like, giving it your complete 100% A game against these cup contenders.
Right. And after that poor performance from the team, but Marc-Andre Fleury giving up 7 goals, they did start Malcolm Subban in that game against Anaheim, who the Knights are facing tomorrow night. They face them on the 27th, lost 4-3, where they opened the scoring, but then gave up four unanswered goals, three of those coming in the second period. And you just can't do that when you only give up 18 shots on that game. And granted, it's not all Malcolm's fault, but it just, that's how teams like Anaheim win games like that, is that if it's a low shooting, low, and just they keep you to the outside and they strike, it just gets weird like that, right, Ben?
It was just a hot mess of a game. Yes. I mean, I was there and it was two teams that clearly were not ready for that game. They're still working themselves back in shape because it was the first game after the 3-day holiday break.
Too much gingerbread.
No, you mean I'm talking about Anaheim.
Yeah.
No. Oh,
Anaheim
okay.
was
Sorry.
The first game back from the break. Oh. So they're still working off a lot of holiday cookies, mm-hmm. a lot of eggnog, whatever they imbibed during that 3-day break. So the first period was just a struggle for everyone involved. Then the Knights take some penalties. The Ducks score 2 power play goals, and they come back after the second power play goal and score again 14 seconds later, and then just the Knights couldn't get a rally going until literally like the final minutes when Nate Schmidt scored twice to make the score a little bit more respectable. But I mean, that was a game where both teams were not playing well. Whoever kind of blinked first and made a mistake mm-hmm. was going to lose, and the Knights just blinked first.
Right. And as you said, returning from break, that it's kind of a wash game. It kind of depends. But then again, it is a team that you're better than. Those are Pacific Division points that you need, so that places an even more of an expectation for points tomorrow night. They did end up winning 4-1 over the Arizona Coyotes on the 20th, just the next night, which is a huge win because the Coyotes are right there with the Golden Knights in the chase for the Pacific Division and supremacy in the Western Conference playoffs a couple months from now. But I mean, that's what you want to see. That's what you want to see when you get your first look at Taylor Hall on that squad, and to just take care of business at home and kind of wash that bad taste out of your mouth with the bookend losses around your holiday break. I mean, you at least you've righted the ship in that sense, right?
Yeah, no, as bad as they looked against Anaheim, I thought they looked outstanding against the Coyotes. And Pacioretty kind of mentioned after the game, like, that was the Coyotes' first game back from the holiday break. So Pacioretty's like, hey, we've already played a game. We've kind of worked off the rust. We're ready. Arizona did not look ready. And, of course, they're missing their all-star goaltender, Darcy Kemper,
yep.
right now, too. And Antti Raanta did not play well for them in net. So the Knights are able to jump on him early, get a ton of momentum, and then just kind of ride that all the way out to the end, especially because, you know, their stars were great. Marc-Andre Fleury was outstanding in net. He tied Curtis Joseph for the 6th most wins all time after beating the Coyotes.
Legend.
Yeah. Mark Stone and Max Pacioretty were outstanding. The chemistry that those two have is just, in my opinion, off the charts right now, even though I asked Mark Stone about it after the game. He said, yeah, it's coming.
It's coming.
And
that's Mark Stone.
Let's not forget the man, the myth, the legend, Chandler Stephenson.
Yes. The key to all of the success, at least for that line.
The key to the Stanley Cup run that any team will go on.
I mean, as we all predicted, right?
Yes.
Yeah. No, he is the key for the Golden Knights.
Yeah, so now the Golden Knights, obviously, as you said, Ryan, find themselves on the top of the Pacific Division standings with 48 points, but the gap towards mediocrity isn't that big. Edmonton finds themselves on the outside of the wild card cut line looking in. They have 44 points, so they're only 4 points behind those Golden Knights. So it just shows you how competitive this Pacific Division is and how it will continue to be throughout this rest of this season. Go.
Quick question.
Yes.
Is the Pacific Division, and this is just, it's open for interpretation, is it competitive or is it bad?
I don't think it's bad. I think,
I really wonder. It's not a great division.
It's a hot pile of meh, in my opinion. Yeah. Like, are the Oilers a great team? No. Are they a good team? Maybe. They have great players.
Yes.
Said players aren't playing well together right now because they seem to turn their brains off when they go in the defensive zone. But, I mean, they're fine. They're not a team that I think you would be excited to play most nights, but they're a very beatable team at the same time. So they're just kind of mediocre.
I think the power's in the Eastern Conference this season in general. But, yeah, I think you have a lot of teams who show a lot of talent, who have a lot of potential, but just haven't taken a hold. Nobody's really taken a foothold in this division. Until somebody gets a decent lead and goes on a win streak more than like two or three games, I think you're just going to see these leapfrogging type of moves each and every week. All right, it's time for we to take our first intermission. When we come back, Ryan, Ben, and I have decided it's officially time to start discussing potential trade scenarios for your Golden Knights. And my suggestion is definitely going to stir up some drama here with Ryan. My name is Lindsay Brown. This is The Nightcap live on CBS Sports Radio 1140 and streaming on the radio.com app. Unfortunately for the rest of y'all, I'm way better than the best of all.
Sending you off to the naughty chair. It's The Nightcap on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Hey, how are you? And welcome back to The Nightcap. We have three people and three very naughty chairs in here. My name is Lindsay Brown, your host always and forever. And per usual, I am joined by Ben Goetz and Ryan Quigley. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hey. I was not naughty, by the way. I was nice.
Santa, I was extremely naughty.
Just
I got
Santa
nothing.
Santa lied to you doesn't make it the truth, Ben. Yeah. That's all I got to say.
No, I
keep
didn't.
Lying to me, Santa. I want the gifts.
Santa!
I did all of the bad things this year.
Did you?
Just a subpar human. Really, if you're listening to this,
you
I mean,
a subpar human.
Is that like a weird middle thing for Santa to give you? You weren't naughty or nice. You were just subpar.
Does he give you like a plastic bag or something?
I get a little ribbon.
Not a plastic bag, a reusable bag.
Huh?
A reusable bag. Sorry, not
with
a plastic
coal
bag.
In it, yeah.
Yeah. That would make sense.
But I get a little ribbon and it says you're like, you know how it's like first place, second place. Like it's like however many people on the earth there are. And then it just like the highest number is that place. So I'm like last
Nailed
place
it.
Of the...
Okay, so yeah. If you want to listen back to that little portion of The Nightcap, you can totally do so because it's super easy. All you got to do is subscribe on Apple Podcasts. You literally just search The Nightcap, include the V, and hit that purple subscribe button. Or you can do the same thing on the radio.com app. Just literally search out The Nightcap there as well. It's time for some trade speculation, gentlemen. It's officially after the Christmas break.
This is my favorite time of year.
It is.
I love this.
And because now we're over the hump. Well, the All-Star break, I don't know when it is, but we do know that Marc-Andre Fleury will be representing your Golden Knights in the All-Star game, whenever that is. I have it in front of me. Maybe I should look.
It is January 25th is the All-Star game. 24th is the skills competition.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait to not watch either.
What are you talking about? We watch everything.
It's going to be great.
Skills competition is incredible. That
is fun.
All-Star game, whatever.
They better have Kendall Coyne come back. They don't.
She's great.
Why? So Pierre Maguire can mansplain hockey to her again?
So she can
You're in the
so
bench.
She can shred McDavid. She can beat him. He'll eat her dust.
So 2 days ago, I returned from my home, my and Ben's homeland, the land of Minnesota, and the home of the Minnesota Wild. And when I was there, I was kind of listening in to some of the discussion around the Minnesota Wild. I like to unplug when I'm not here, and so I wasn't really in tune with the Golden Knights. But from what I was hearing from them, I kind of came up with this trade idea because I think the Minnesota Wild and the Vegas Golden Knights are very compatible trade partners during this season. And it's not just because both of them have talent, that both of them are good, but both of them find themselves in very precarious cap situations. We had a lot early in the Golden Knights season where they were sending guys up and down and up and down from the AHL and NHL when they were just staying in a hotel in town here because they're trying to make sure that they're staying under that cap because thousands of dollars matter. That's how tight things are. And Minnesota finds themselves in a really tough position because they have a lot of guys who are under long-term deals with no movement clauses, like Zach Parise, Ryan Suter. You have Matt Zuccarello, who's just signed their long-term. A lot of guys and not a whole lot of wiggle room. And both of the teams, I think, are going to be buyers in this year's trade deadline. But sometimes in order for you to go buy people, you have to sell some players off because you have to make room. There's not enough room at the inn. Got to make sure you got to find somebody else or someplace to put them. So just to give you guys a little bit of a summary of what Minnesota's been working with. They have the next coming of their baby Jesus apparently coming in April. His name is Kirill Kaprizov. He plays for the KHL. He plays for the Moscow team, Putin's team, and he is
Putin.
36 games played, 17 goals, 16 assists, second on his team in points, and fifth overall in the KHL. And Ryan, you cover the Minnesota Wild for Hockey Wilderness and for SB Nation. Can you give me like a tweet's worth of words about the importance of Kirill Kaprizov's importance to this franchise?
Yeah, I mean, people think he's the savior. People think he's the guy who's going to come in and be the next great Russian goal scorer in the NHL. And I mean, based off of what we're seeing from him over in the KHL in Russia, I mean, there's no reason to think he couldn't be that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure he'll be an Artemi Panarin or anything like that, but
he could be.
He could be. You mm-hmm. never know. I mean, you see guys like Evgeny Dadonov come over and he's playing for the Florida Panthers now. He's having a great NHL career.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Kirill Kaprizov, he's a young kid. I think he can come in and really change the dynamic of the Wild, who really they've been missing. I mean, they have Parisi, they do have Eric Staal, but they need a player who can really just snipe the puck out of anywhere on the ice.
Right.
And that's not exactly Parisi or Staal's game. So I think this is exactly the kind of thing the Wild need, is someone like Kirill Kaprizov.
Right. And the Wild hasn't really had that game breaker since we were growing up, and with Marian Gaborik. That's really the last person
right.
on that team where you're like, wow, that guy's a goal scorer. And Kaprizov is a left wing, but because of the contract situation, because of the players and personnel that the Minnesota Wild have, they're going to have to move a top six winger to make room. The only person that really makes sense to me, if you look at their roster, is none other than Jason Zucker.
What?
Yes, Jason Zucker. You can't move Parisi, no movement clause. Zuccarello just signed. And then you have the young guys, Fiala, Donato, Greenway, Cunning. They're young. They have too much potential. They're not going to be moving anywhere. Zucker, however, 27 years old, Las Vegas native, the only Las Vegas product ever produced in the NHL, who just makes $5.5 million per season and is signed through 2023. Your guys' thoughts on Jason Zucker just in general?
So, I love Jason Zucker,
mm-hmm.
and to be quite honest with you, I can't really think of too many players that would be a better fit for this team right now.
Why?
Because he is so good in transition, and whenever you see some sort of odd man rush or a breakaway opportunity for the Wild, usually Jason Zucker has something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
He's a really, really dynamic offensive forward. His problem is that he has a hard time finishing on these high dangers, you know, scoring chances. And I think that is something, I don't know if it's luck, I don't know if it's a mental thing, or it's just him like getting in his own head and trying something and it's just not working out. But he's a very, very good offensively gifted player, and he's dynamic. And I think he would fit really, really well in Vegas.
Yeah, and he's the big thing that Jason Zucker brings to whatever team he plays for is his speed. It is one of those. He's probably top five in the NHL. He's right. He's not Connor McDavid, but he's pretty darn close.
Yeah.
And when you and I were talking about this earlier at the Knights practice, Ben, you were halfway on board with this, because you're like, yeah, I get why Zucker would be a target possibly, because he is at a devalued point in his career. They would try to trade him three times last season. As I said, the Minnesota Wild need to get rid of him, and he's playing for the Wild, so there's already that. And they've turned things around. They've turned things around. But still, this is a guy that hasn't really performed up to expectations since signing that big deal after having his career year, I think, a couple seasons ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think with the right roster, he could get to 70 points. But Ben, when you and I were talking, what was your biggest apprehension surrounding going out and getting Jason Zucker for the Golden Knights?
Yeah, I just don't know where he would play in the lineup.
Right.
So I think everything that Ryan said is totally true. In like an abstract sense, Jason Zucker fits really well with what the Knights want to do. He can be aggressive in transition. He can skate. He can forecheck. Then he can get back on the backcheck because he's so fast and
right.
he can get back the other way. But if you're the Knights, to get the most out of him, you're going to have to play him in your top six.
Mm-hmm.
And your top two left wings right now are Max Pacioretty and Jonathan Marchessault.
So we're not moving them?
You're definitely not moving Max Pacioretty, and
no.
I think especially it would be take a lot of guts for them to move Jonathan Marchessault, who's making about $5 million this year, so a little bit less than Zucker, but who your coach, Gerard Gallant, just loves. I mean,
right.
loves Marchessault's attitude, loves the way he competes. I think the numbers, for the most part, haven't been for him this season. He's actually been really good in December, though, so he's starting to heat up a
mm-hmm.
little bit. That's the thing that I think is the biggest obstacle in making this kind of move of, are you willing to kind of break up your top six
right.
to get a guy like Zucker in there? Because, I mean, for sure, one of those two, Pacioretty or Marchessault, has to go to, I think, make the cap work and to make the lineup work. You have to make both of those things work if you're going to bring them in. And I just don't know if they're going to be willing to do that, to break up, you know, one of your top six guys on a team that's not bad.
Right.
Yeah. Like, my thing is that, like, 5.5 is not, it's not a lot. But it's not little. Yeah, no. It's definitely not a little. So, like, they're going to have to really do some financial gymnastics here if they want to make it work and pull this thing off. And let's just be straight up here. There's no, like, rumors or anything like that swirling around that this is actually a thing. Like, this is just us spitballing here.
This is,
like,
my 3 a.m. brainchild.
Right, yeah.
Literally, this is my 3 a.m. brainchild.
But tis the season. It's trade season. This is what we this is the time of year when we talk about this stuff. And I feel like Zucker's someone who he has been in trade. Talks quite frequently over the last year. Mm-hmm. You might as well at least consider it or think about it.
Right. And the angle that I took, and I wasn't so much as like, where is he going to fit in the lineup, but I was trying to match up money, because that's the first and foremost. I was thinking, well, maybe if you flip them, now this is not saying that I want to get rid of them, it's whatever, but Eakin, Reeves, and say like a second round pick, because Eakin and Reeves are both off expiring deals, which Minnesota would welcome. Because they don't have a lot of cap space. And if you want to re-sign one of those two, you could maybe circle back and get Eakin if he ends up. And granted, he's injured right now. I know that it's not 100% bulletproof. But Reeves, I know he's a fan favorite, but he could add some muscle to that Minnesota roster. And if he wants, and if Vegas wants to, he could just run out the deal and then re-sign in the summertime, honestly.
Yeah, the problem with that deal for me, though, is the Wild would then be trading Jason Zucker for Eakin and Reeves.
And a second round, and like a or first or second, something that a lot sweetens that pot.
It would need a lot. Like,
I know, but it's expiring deals that's part of the bit.
Yeah, like to me, that would be subtraction by addition, if that makes sense.
Well, if it helps the Golden Knights, I am here for it. If it helps them, I am fine. The other option that I had on the Minnesota Wild is one of their best young defensemen, Jonas Brodin. He is an excellent skater. He's not an offensive defenseman by any means, but that's why he would be a great fit for these Golden Knights. His skating ability, his puck moving ability allows the Knights to reinforce that defensive, at least their pairing in the third, and giving him an anchor, someone who can help mitigate mistakes should someone take a bad pinch or should the forwards not back check all the way. He is someone that I would really like to look into, and unfortunately don't have a ton of time to really go deep dive into this further. We'll have to do that at a later date. But yeah, this is just going to be our first dip in the water of trades.
I can't wait. This is such a fun
time
here.
I'm so excited. All right, we need to take another breather when we come back from our second intermission. It's time for our extra special weekly segment that usually falls during the 35th minute called the Dump a Chase, but it might be a little bit late today. That's Ryan Quigley. That's Ben Goetz. My name is Lindsay Brown, and this is The Nightcap on CBS Sports Radio 1140 and streaming on the radio.com app.
Time for a little dump and chase. The Nightcap on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
That's right. It is time for our dump and chase segment. But before we get to that, we do want to put out our social handles to you because we want you to follow us. We want you guys to interact with us. And by us, I mean myself, Lindsay Brown, your host always and forever here on The Nightcap, and my two best friends in the whole wide Vegas area, Ryan Quigley and Ben Goetz.
Hey!
That was nice.
Yes, that was nice. So if you want to find me on Twitter, you can find me at Lindsay Brown, L-A-N-D-S-E-Y, Brown like the color and the numerical value of 35, or on the Instagrams with, at Linz, no E-Y, Brown, 35. Same thing, just no E-Y. What about you, Ben? Where can we find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Ben S. Goetz, G-O-T-Z, and of course, all my stuff is at reviewjournal.com.
Nice.
If you want to check out what I write.
Folks, let me tell you something. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me at @RP_Quigs. And you can follow my Minnesota Wild coverage at Hockey Wilderness with one S for some crazy reason.
I got goosebumps with that
singular
intro.
Singular reason.
Yes, I got the air horns.
There we go.
You guys both suck.
I felt like I was cozying up by the fireplace with you. Tell me a story, Papa Quigs.
Let me tell you guys something right here, right now.
That was like a low-key ASMR.
Oh yeah,
folks,
it was.
Let me tell you something.
Please put that away. Put your pants on. All right. Dump and chase segment. Usually, each and every week, we bring one thing that we saw in the league that we just like to discuss. Doesn't have to be Golden Knights, really. Doesn't have to be, you know, any Pacific Division related, but it just could be something fun, something serious. And today, I'm going to address the NHL and their rules for the All-Star game because they've made some changes. NHL's no stranger to making changes to their rules, much like the NFL. A couple of years ago, they implemented a rule in order to make the All-Star game feel more important and to make sure that their stars were not only showing up, but trying their hardest. If you get elected, you're going. And if you don't go, you're going to sit out a game. And that's exactly what Alexander Ovechkin did. But he wasn't voted on the roster because last week he said, I'm not doing the All-Star game no matter what because I need to rest up my body. I'm 34 years old. I've paid my dues. And we're going for another cup here.
Mm-hmm.
And you let the league know. Plenty of time. But yet, still, we'll end up sitting out a game for missing the All-Star game. Which is what date again, Ben, since you're the one that knows it?
January 25th. And, of course, the 24th is a skills competition. So, yeah. Ovechkin, of course, was the captain.
I love my buttons.
That was incredible. Ovechkin was named the captain of the Metropolitan Division. Yep. There's a fan vote. And, obviously, his main competition for that award, Sidney Crosby, is hurt. So, it was easy to vote Ovechkin in. So, yeah. He said,
"Who's filling
I'm not
it?
Going.
Do you know?
I don't think we know yet.
Huh. No. We have the last man in voting, which is going to start later on this week. Max Pacioretty's on that roster for the Pacific Division, but their fans can vote those players, and I think you get 10 votes a day, and you can do it for 10 days straight, so there's 100 votes at your disposal. But yeah, I get what they're trying to do with the league in terms of making sure that these All-Star games stay important, that players aren't just showing up like hungover or, just...
Which they're doing anyway.
I mean, they're professional athletes and they are hockey players. We know how to party, right? Yeah. Like, we all know this. But I just don't really agree with it. I think that in some instances, sure, but I guess you have to apply the rule to all for the few to follow it. But I just don't agree with this.
Yeah, so we were talking about this earlier at the Golden Knights practice, and it's so tricky because I get it. Like, if you're the NHL, this is like one of the few times you really go all out to market your stars, which I have an issue with that, by the way, that, you know, maybe you should market those guys more than once a year.
Maybe in the Olympics, per se.
Yeah.
But anyway, you get these guys together and you want them all to be there so that you can truly say when it's on NBC Sports Network that, hey, here's the best of the best. Come see our stars do cool things. At the same time, Ovechkin's done this for a long time. He's paid his dues. He showed up to All-Star games.
Right.
He also didn't show up last year because he's like, I've won a cup. I'm tired now because we went all the way to June. I want to rest up so that to make sure that I'm fresh for another cup run. And obviously at this point in his career, that's pretty much all he cares about, except for maybe breaking Wayne Gretzky's goal-scoring record, at which point he will literally just leave the ice and be done.
Just take off the stuff
He said in a recent interview, which is amazing. So there has to be some sort of mechanism we can work out with the NHL where it's like, once you've been to like your seventh, maybe even just fifth All-Star game, like you can bow out, no questions asked.
Yeah.
If you're a young guy, you're still trying to pay your dues.
You gotta go.
And NHL wants to showcase you. Yeah, you gotta go. But when you're Ovechkin at this point, we've seen Ovechkin in the All-Star game. I think we're all good there.
Everyone knows who Alexander Ovechkin is how many laps he can swim around the fountains. Let him swim.
I love how the NHL thinks the All-Star game is so important, and it so is not. Like for example, so there's the Alex Ovechkin thing where they're suspending him for not going, which is dumb, obviously. And then the John Scott thing. They were like, no, how dare this happen?
Yeah, ended up being the best thing that happened in that game in forever.
It was incredible.
Oh my God, NHL, you stink.
Are you listening, Gary?
Yeah, you listening, Gary, you clown?
Gare Bear, listen up, dude. Hey, Ryan, what do you have for your Dump and Chase contribution today?
So, there's a certain player for the New York Islanders named Anthony Beauvillier. You may know him, you may not know him. He's a solid young player for the Islanders. And over the Christmas break, he shot his shot. They always say, shoot your shot. He certainly did that. He tweeted at Anna Kendrick on Twitter, and he just literally all he said was, hi, Anna Kendrick.
Incredible.
And then 10 million wingmen came out of
Danny
nowhere.
Danny All-Star came out of the woodwork and started the meme of the week.
Yeah, and then they were just saying like all these things like, hey, Anthony, he dog sat for the entire animal shelter last week. A real one for sure. Thanks for performing open heart surgery on me, man.
People are helping his case for Anna Kendrick.
And she noticed.
Yes.
She thinks he's hilarious.
See, Twitter is often a bad place. Twitter was a very
great
place.
Yes, it was.
I guess except if you're Anna Kendrick's publicist and all of a sudden you have like 2,000 more Twitter notifications than usual and you have to somehow be like, hey, Anna?
Yeah.
Like, I know you're busy filming Pitch Perfect 4, but we got something blowing up here.
Anna, I think Anna handles her own Twitter. She's one of those.
She's great.
She's real. But maybe she does.
Anna Kendrick, great friend of the show. She, I know she's listening. Anna, you just got to give the guy a chance. I mean, really, that's what you got to do.
What do you got to lose?
Yeah,
fortune
nothing.
Fortune favors the bold.
Think about it. He's a young man. Good looking man, handsome man. He's in
relatively
he's in
good shape.
Yeah, he's in
very
good shape.
Very good shape, pro athlete.
And he makes a decent buck, so Why not? Not that that's a problem. You're Anna Kendrick. So.
Yeah, she's doing fine.
That's no problem
fine.
For any women. They yeah. can take care of themselves. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely.
No? Yeah. Except on mom's trip. That doesn't exist.
Yeah, no. Yeah, apparently.
Ben,
not.
What about you?
So I just want to go back to the All-Star briefly and just talk about, as you mentioned, Lindsay, Marc-Andre Fleury is going for the Golden Knights. As of right now, no one else is. Max Pacioretty could get voted in. Coach Jarglant could end up going if the Knights are in first place in the Pacific Division points percentage-wise at the halfway point of the year, which is just a weird Markov point, and that'll happen later this week. So that's possible. The Knights are in second there right now. Are we surprised that only Fleury is going? Are we surprised that Pacioretty or Mark Stone was not named the Pacific Division roster? To be clear, each team gets at least one player on the All-Star team, so it is a big puzzle for the league to kind of figure this out of like, okay, if we take this player from this team, that means, you know, this player from this other team can't make it and all that stuff. So it's like much more complicated to do than it sounds. But that was very surprising to me that one of those two guys didn't make it. They're both in the top 20 scorers of the NHL. And, of course, Stone has an excellent defensive reputation. Pacioretty's having the best season of his career. Relatively surprised.
Yeah.
The All-Star game is one of those things where most of the time the best players make it in, but sometimes the ones that are more well-known than even if they're still playing well, I do agree with you. I think that Pacioretty and Stone are a little more deserving at this point, but at the end of the day, everybody knows Marc-Andre Fleury. They associate the Golden Knights with Marc-Andre Fleury, and I'm not saying Patch isn't and Mark aren't important, but this is Fleury. There's going to be a statue of him.
Oh.
And goalie's probably a lot easier to pick than when you're trying to split hairs with forwards, right, especially with Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, although all the talent there is in the Pacific Division.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tough putt for any selection because, as you said, you add one player, that means you're taking away from four others. All right, we have one final intermission before we send you off into the darkness. We will stuff some oranges in our faces and retape our sticks, but on the other side of the break, we will take a look ahead of the Golden Knights and their docket this week. My name is Lindsay Brown. This is The Nightcap, live on CBS Sports Radio 1140 and streaming on the radio.com app.
The Nightcap. That's a night with a K, as in Golden Knights. Duh. On CBS Sports Radio 1140.
How are you? And welcome back to the final portion of this week's Nightcap. As Shakira said, remember, if you've missed any episode of The Nightcap ever, you can listen back to that on Apple Podcasts. Just search the Nightcap on the radio.com app or on Apple Podcasts or on the CBS Sports Radio 1140 website. My name is Lindsay Brown, your host, always and forever. Ryan Quigley and Ben Goetz are also here. And usually for our final segment of The Nightcap, we take a look at the schedule for the Knights in the week ahead. And they are going to be facing off against the Anaheim Ducks on Tuesday. The Golden Knights are 21-15-6, 48 points, first in the Pacific, and 6-3-1 in their last 10. But, Ben, as you said, the Anaheim Ducks beat them the other night on the 26th or 27th, correct?
27th.
Right. And so Anaheim is 16-18 with 37 points, 6 in the Pacific, 8 points out of that wild card. How important is this game to these Golden Knights tomorrow night, Ben?
No, I think it's very important for them to, you know, bounce back from what was a pretty poor performance overall against them on the 27th. Obviously understandable because the Knights were on the road. They had a travel day the day of, then had a morning skate, then had a game that's a lot in one day to kind of knock the rust off and didn't play their best. At home, I would be pretty surprised if the Knights didn't play a pretty good game there against the Ducks. They've been really good against Anaheim historically. They are still 8-2 against the Ducks all time, even with that loss, I believe it was Friday. So they're a team that the Knights have historically handled the Ducks, and so I'd expect, you know, for them to give a good effort tomorrow night.
Yeah, you're 11 points ahead of them. That means you're the better team. That means you should get 2 points. No problem. And then the Golden Knights are going to face off against the Philadelphia Flyers on Thursday. They are at home again. The Flyers are kind of flying under the radar with a 22-12-5 record.
See what you did
49
there.
Points. I didn't mean to, but thank you. fourth in the Metro, first wild card position in the East. And Ryan, this is kind of your squad in terms. You're a Philly fan. Why isn't Philly getting more attention? Because they have one more point than the Golden Knights, but I never hear anything really about Philly when it comes to the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I feel like people still think they suck, and that's really what it comes down to. They're just kind of used to them being bad over the last couple of years. And no, they're good. They're actually a good team. Like, they got Kevin Hayes over the summer. Mm-hmm. He's been amazing. I don't know if you guys saw, but he had a really awesome overtime winner mm-hmm. against the Anaheim Ducks a couple days ago. They're a really good team. Ivan Provorov is turning into what really looks like to be a franchise defenseman. Mm-hmm. And Carter Hart is just, he's unreal.
He is special. Yeah. He is a special goaltender and one of the brightest prospects, goaltending prospects in the league. You don't see guys playing in the league at his age if they're not special. It's usually mid-20s. So I expect big things, and it seems that Chuck Fletcher, the GM of the Flyers, has gotten
his
team back on track a little bit quicker than a lot of people had expected. The Golden Knights, after they play Philly on Thursday, will have a couple days off, but then we'll face off against the Western Conference leading St. Louis Blues on Saturday. They are 26-8-6 with 58 points casually. First in the Central, second in the NHL, the top team in the West. Also, they've won 8 in a row. That winning streak, believe it or not, started with the 4-2 win that they secured over the Golden Knights on the 12th of December, which is insane. That's going to be a tall task no matter where you play them. But regardless, all right, that'll do it for us here on the Nightcap this week. Thank you to Ryan and Ben for joining me, and thank you for Mark for making sure everything sounds great. We'll be back next and every Monday henceforth, 6 to 7 p.m. here on CBS Sports Radio 1140. Don't forget to podcast us. Cheers to you, cheers to me, cheers to us, and all will be. My name is Lindsay Brown, and this has been the Nightcap.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.